Hello, all. Welcome to our final podcast episode on constitutional law. We are wrapping up what has no doubt been a whirlwind 16 weeks of all sorts of cases on power, on states, on federalism, on the tribes, on a huge range of different topics that has taken us all the way from the 1700s up to today. I thank you all for engaging in this course. This is the very first time I have conducted an online version of constitutional law. And to be quite honest with you, going into this, I was very, very unsure of how well this would work because these topics are so very difficult. It's complicated. It's not like you sit around talking about dormant power theory just, you know, with friends and loved ones around the holidays. So with all of that said, I want to say just a few words of thanks to all of you for, number one, being the first group who has gone through this online endeavor, and to also recognize the amount of work that that is. Because it's no small task and no small feat to work through dozens of cases, to get entire chapters covered in a book that is certainly dense and filled with complicated concepts, and to walk through no less what our Supreme Court justices do on a regular basis. We don't often see that kind of workload or the types of questions that we encountered in this class on a regular weekly basis. And you've all done quite magnificently with it, even when you feel like you haven't. And that's really where I want to come in and say a few words. If you are at the end of this course shaking your head and thinking, I don't know that I really know much more about constitutional law, that is completely understandable. And the reason for that is we have seen a breadth and depth of cases that would challenge any human being to come up with a general understanding. In the last few decades, a number of constitutional law scholars and teachers have noted that very dynamic, that in essence, we are struggling to identify the patterns in constitutional law because the court does sway back and forth with respect to different topics. This year, we may be very focused on issues of state power, but in 10 years, we may see a backswing where there is more empowerment of the federal government in different realms of our constitutional law. So, having that sense of perhaps not knowing exactly what constitutional law says is totally fair and totally understandable. If that's where you're at, don't feel like you have failed to grasp what's going on. You have, in fact, grasped it. It's simply that this is a realm that is confusing. And above all else, if you get that sense, that's still okay. There is no reason for you to necessarily judge yourself harshly if you walk away and you say, I don't really know, I can't really determine how I would answer questions about this, because, to be frank, that's what attorneys do all the time. They are encountering these legal issues and cases and coming at it in a way where they say, here's what I think will be the most effective argument about this, but I don't have a sense of that. And in fact, the arguments, if you hear them even today, it is very smart individuals taking a shot at best understanding what a case is about or how to interpret and explain it. And there's debate between not only those attorneys and the Supreme Court, but among the justices themselves. When some of the most well-trained legal minds in our country come to differing conclusions about a case, I can assure you, it's also okay if we don't all come to the same conclusion or have the same understanding. It is quite clearly in constitutional law a matter of the argument you make. And whether those arguments are effective with a specific set of justices at a specific time. Arguments about loan forgiveness and mortgage issues are quite different in the context of a Great Depression than during an economic boom, and quite different in front of the Supreme Court that existed under Franklin Delano Roosevelt versus the Supreme Court we have today. Constitutional law is not a fixed star in the night. It is quite simply a moving object. And when we try to tackle understanding a moving and changing object like that, it is frustrating, confusing, downright maddening at certain points in time. And if you've encountered those feelings in this class, I'm here to say that's awesome. No, that doesn't feel awesome. But it is awesome because what that says to me is that you have really tried to engage with this material. And yep, I find it frustrating too. There are moments where I read something and I cannot for the life of me wrap my brain around what is being said. But as you continue to challenge yourselves this semester and work through those questions and do your best with things like layman's terms assignments, I so very much appreciate it. So thank you again for all of your work, all of your time, all of the gnashing of the teeth and the flailing of the limbs that comes with reading Supreme Court opinions. It is very, very much appreciated that you would undertake this endeavor and try to do so in an online setting with no doubt so much more going on in your lives than just this course. On that note, I have a few things I would put to you as constitutional law scholars, which you all are. No matter how hard this may have felt, you've done it, you've done the work, you've engaged. So where do you stand on understanding constitutional law? Where do you think we need to go? What are the directions that you would anticipate we will see with the balancing of federalism, with the powers of government in contexts of foreign policy and war? Are we going to continue to see this move towards state empowerment? There's this backswing underway with the Roberts Court where we're pushing more from the federal government and taking from entities like administrative agencies and shifting a lot of that power towards state government and allowing the states to make decisions on topics that just a few years ago would never have been in their realm to decide. Are we going to continue to see some evolution in the tests that the Supreme Court uses? I'll make one note that we hadn't really emphasized in this course a big point for the Supreme Court in the last, well, frankly, two decades or so, has been this emphasis on history and tradition. What does history and tradition mean? And in what context are we thinking about it? Because history and tradition, when it comes to the Second Amendment, is quite different from history and tradition when we think about something more like the administrative state, which is a relatively recent innovation, really, you know, highlighted in the 1930s, again, under the context of the Great Depression. Where do we see these transitions moving? And if we continue to maintain a dominant originalist approach among several of the justices, what does that also mean for the types of arguments we will be making about cases and questions that come in the future? I've titled this podcast, This is the End, or Is It? Because I fully intend and believe that you will walk away from this course, maybe not thinking about constitutional law on a daily basis, but certainly reflecting on it in different ways, perhaps, than you did before. Or at least, when you hear about the Supreme Court, perhaps calling to mind some questions that this course has brought forth and made you consider. On that note, I will wrap our final episode in this podcast series. Thank you yet again for your work and your frustration and engagement with this class. As always, I am so very open to feedback, so please let me know your thoughts, your concerns about this course. If you have time, I would really love to see the course evaluation completed, but I understand we're all under the gun, so to speak, with the amount of things on our plate. But all that said, if you can, I would love to hear your thoughts on how this all went for you. All right, everybody, take care. Have a safe and happy holiday season. For those of you graduating, congratulations. And I do hope to engage with you again in the future.